Welcome to the Wretched Hive Podcast.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Moss Iceland Spaceport.
What are you talking about?
You will never find a more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
This is ridiculous.
We must be cautious.
Actually, we're just a bunch of guys talking about Star Wars and other stuff.
I'm looking forward to having some real talk with some real folks.
That's good news.
I like the sound of that.
Well, we're here for a special edition of the Wretched Hive Podcast. Actually, this is mini episode number 5, and we've just got 3 of the Hive today. This is Steve Baldwin. We've got lifelong Star Wars fan, Scotty Vansky.
Thanks, Steve. Thanks for having us. I know this is kind of a crazy last-minute night. Some stuff we're going to talk about. Not too long of a show tonight, but kind of a somber mood, so... I'm not even drinking. Can you believe that?
Yeah, we do. I can't believe it. I think this is a very, very rare episode where Scott does not have a drink in his hand. And also joining us, Dave. Do not ever call him Harry Potter.
Greetings and salutations, everybody, on a somber day for Star Wars fandom.
Yep, and we just had to have a quick call. We couldn't assemble the entire crew tonight, but... We really wanted to have a quick call tonight because we had the passing of a Star Wars and really Hollywood legend today on the morning of Tuesday, December 27th. Carrie Fisher passed away this morning, age 60. First and foremost, we want to express our condolences to her family and all of those who surround her and love her. She's not only a Star Wars icon, but... She's really a Hollywood legend, and best known, of course, for her role as Princess Leia in Star Wars, but has played many other roles and done many other things in Hollywood. A renowned writer of film scripts and, of course, most recently books. But she's really well known recently for doing rewrites, a lot of them uncredited. But she's a hired gun in Hollywood to spruce up scripts, and she's a brilliant writer. And really, she came into our lives, though, guys, through Star Wars. And Princess Leia was really her breakout role in 1977. And so I'm just wondering if we want to share our feelings. We really haven't rehearsed or talked much about this at all, as if we ever rehearsed. But we really haven't talked about what we're going to say tonight, other than just we wanted to honor Carrie and the legacy that she leaves behind.
I think that was excellent, Steve, and I do want to throw in a couple other little things in case people don't know, and hopefully they do know, but Carrie Fisher is the daughter of Debbie Reynolds and I believe Eddie Fisher, is that correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, and just all around, I mean, we all know her obviously as Princess Leia, beloved Princess Leia, such a strong, huge, strong change of female characters in the 70s, and she was a major part of that, along with, I would probably credit Sigourney Weaver and Alien as well, as just changing the dynamic of the scope of female characters in films. But yeah, a writer, so much. I mean, and obviously an actor, she's been in many different roles, some great roles. Blues Brothers was one. When Harry Met Sally, I think, was another classic one, and one of my all-time ridiculous guilty pleasures, The Man with One Red Shoe with Tom Hanks. Another just fun, ridiculously silly, stupid comedy, but a lot of fun. And that woman just did it all, and just an advocate for so many things, plus the fact that she dealt with bipolar disorder, the way she handled that, her public appearances. Such an amazing, amazing woman. So I'm really glad we took the time to do this tonight, just to take 20, 30 minutes just to talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously the most important roles she had were, you know, daughter, mother, sister to all of her family. I know to all of us, she'll always be, you know, the last daughter of Alderaan. And it's... This is one of the ones that really hits you. I mean, 2016, I think, will definitely go down for our generation as the year when it really brought home the sense of mortality. All these celebrities that we grew up with and icons that we grew up with, I can't remember there being a year quite like this where so many of them have died. And it's things that, it's people that we had those personal connections to from our childhood. Whereas before, celebrity deaths were always, or more, much more so, you know, people our parents knew when they were growing up. But I think the thing about Carrie Fisher that, I've really grown to love over the last couple of years is she just seems like she's Carrie Fisher. There's not a public Carrie Fisher, you know, the celebrity Carrie Fisher, and then the private Carrie Fisher. She is just who she is 24/7. She's completely comfortable in her own skin, warts and all, owns everything, just shoots from the hip and doesn't hold back. And God bless her. I love her so much for it. This weekend after the news of the heart attack broke, Christine found out I had not watched her HBO one-woman special, Wishful Drinking. And if people haven't, my God, go out and find this thing on HBO Go because it is hilarious. It is just her talking about her life growing up in Hollywood, what that was really like for her, and it's amazing. And another thing that I will try to find the link for and make sure it's on our Facebook page if you haven't seen it is her speech when George Lucas was honored at AFI with one of their awards, because it wasn't an awards speech. It felt more like a roast speech, and it was just classic Carrie Fisher biting humor and sarcastic comments, and George just had to sit there and laugh through the whole thing and wonder how much truth is there to what she's saying. It was great.
Really well said, Dave. Reading from EW.com, Carrie Fisher was born in, she was born on October 21st, 1956. She was a product of Hollywood parents, as you mentioned, and there's a great quote here. She says, "You might say I'm a product of Hollywood inbreeding," Fisher wrote in her memoir, Wishful Drinking. "When two celebrities mate, something like me is the result." She never knew a happy home with both parents. She was two when her parents divorced and her father married Elizabeth Taylor. Around 12, Fisher started sharing the stage with her mother in a nightclub act. And again, this is Anthony Bresnikan writing for EW.com. She never finished high school, choosing instead to join the Broadway musical Irene. And she was 17 when she made her film debut opposite Warren Beatty in the 1975 sexual revolution dramedy Shampoo.
Yep. We forget that.
Playing a tennis player who seduces her mother's hairdresser and lover. Quote, "My two scenes in Shampoo took only a few days to shoot, and when they were done, I went back to living at home with my mother and younger brother Todd, hoping that I wouldn't be living there too much longer, as any amount of time was way too long for the now too hip for words, me," Fisher wrote in The Princess Diarist. So she grew up in Hollywood and, of course, ended up making her career in Hollywood. Her biggest role, of course, Star Wars. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I had forgotten until I looked at IMDb this afternoon, the Blues Brothers.
Oh, yeah.
Her turn in the Blues Brothers, as she's credited as the mystery woman. Just classic stuff there.
Seriously classic moments with her in that film. It's such a great movie in itself, but oh my God, with her as almost kind of a side antagonist, it's hilarious.
And I heard an interview replayed today of her talking about her times on Blues Brothers, because that was where she met and started dating Dan Aykroyd. Mm. But she told a story about how when she and Dan were a couple, they were hanging out with James Belushi and James' wife, and all four of them dropped acid together. And at one point in the conversation, Jim just looked over at her and said, "You know, Carrie, you and I are the ones who's alike. These two aren't like us." And Carrie said, "And 3 weeks after that, he died. So I don't know what to do with that."
Oh, man.
So the article here goes on to say, Fisher auditioned for the role of Princess Leia amidst a host of other actresses, including Sissy Spacek. And Star Wars filmmaker George Lucas and director Brian De Palma, a cinematic mentor, were sharing the search for a female lead in their respective movies. De Palma's was an adaptation of Stephen King's first novel. Of course, that would be Carrie.
Yeah.
Quote, "I thought that last role would be a funny casting coup if I got it. Carrie as Carrie in Carrie. I doubt that was why I never made it to the next level with Carrie, but it didn't help. Spacek, of course, got that part, but Fisher won over Lucas, who needed a young, fresh face and who could also project an old soul and skill with a blaster.
Can you pause it right there? I do want to make a funny comment about this. We've now seen the classic audition tapes and reels with her auditioning, which are fantastic. Obviously, there was something there. You can see it in those audition tapes. But the thing that has always hit me the most is that the fact that Lucas and De Palma were casting simultaneously, and we saw a lot of crossover characters. William Catt was trying auditioning for the Luke Skywalker role, vice versa, back and forth between the two films. I have yet to see footage, unless you guys have, of Carrie Fisher auditioning for any of the De Palma roles. That is footage I would love to see pop up, to see her reading some of the Carrie lines, either as Carrie or one of the other actresses from that movie.
No, I don't think I've seen that.
Yeah. It's got to be up there in the vault somewhere.
Yeah. It has to be.
So she was Marie in When Harry Met Sally.
Great film, by the way. Movie.
Great film, and she's great in that great film.
And I had also forgotten that she has an uncredited part as a therapist in one of my favorite movies of all time, Austin Powers. Do you remember that scene when Dr. Evil is talking about his... My father was a relentlessly self-improving boudoir owner from Belgium. That whole thing. She's the therapist in that
scene. That is correct, yes.
Let's see what else we have here. Ah, she was a nun in Jay and Silent Bob Strike Back. Who can forget that turn?
And she refused to accept pay for it.
Did she really?
Was such an uncomfortable role to watch. Princess Leia as a nun having an oral moment with Jay from Jay and Silent Bob. Oh, no. My goodness.
Kevin Smith posted about this today. She refused to be paid for it, and instead she had... you know, View Askew buy her a couple of beaver chairs because she said that just seems appropriate given the part.
Awesome. Oh my God.
Well, she had just a wonderful sense of humor, of course. I mean, you know, Carrie Fisher was so funny. I have a couple of clips, guys. We actually played these probably 6 months ago, but this is Carrie in an interview she did last year when she was talking about her experience on The Force Awakens, and she was talking about the unique hairstyle that the production called for.
Captain, you've been working on The Force Awakens. We can now talk
about
it.
I'm not allowed to talk about that.
You are now, though.
That one.
Yes,
okay.
The one that we did.
I don't know what I'm not supposed to talk about, but I know it's something.
The one where the picture there will remind you of that moment. So
I know, that's my baboon-ass hairstyle. You don't disagree. First I have the hairy earphones, and now I have baboon asses.
Baboon asses. So she was not shy to make fun and poke a little fun at herself, and you know, she could bring it for sure. She, as you said in your opening comments, Dave, she was someone who at least at the end of her life, lived out loud and unashamed of who she was and her experiences, and just was an open book. And yeah, how refreshing that is in 2016.
Yeah. I need to throw a few more things out there. She was in a couple other kind of underground cult comedy fun movies. She was in The Burbs, which was also a kind of fun Tom Hanks film. There was another one. Oh, one of my all-time weird favorites, again, a guilty pleasure. She was in Soap Dish with quite a cast. I mean, I believe Kevin Kline's in that, Sally Field, a bunch of other people. It's a wonderful film, early 90s. Check that out if you haven't. I got to throw a couple quick little statements in here. I said this on my personal Facebook page apologies ahead of time, but I can't tell you enough. I know it's not the year itself, but seriously, fuck 2016. And the people that are going, we can't do this anymore with just a few days left. This is ridiculous. When we found out that she had the heart attack, and then all the news reports were coming back saying she was stable, everything was fine, Debbie Reynolds was posting to her Twitter feed, I believe, saying that things are looking okay or looking better. Everything seemed to be like, yes, this is going to be wonderful. We don't want to lose her. And then that just happened. It was just tough. And not just tough as a Star Wars fan, but as a Star Wars fan, this year's been tough. We lost two of the main five characters, Princess Leia and R2-D2.
Yeah.
So,
and those were not the two I think anybody would have bet on going into the year.
No.
Yeah.
No, I agree with you, Dave. I agree, but it just hit hard, and it's like after everything and every great talented person we've lost this year to end it with this, just it's like the David Bowie fans out there and the Prince fans out there. It's harsh. I mean, 60 years old. Is seriously young.
Yeah.
George Michael a week ago.
I know.
It has been a rough year, and we can only hope that it'll get better, and it's tough to stay optimistic in times like this, but the show must go on. I think that Carrie would want us to go on, would want us to celebrate her life and laugh along with her. And I think that's the way we honor her, is that we and the celebrities that we admire and looked up to and that we know are good people, I think in the case of Carrie and George Michael in particular this last year, he was only 53, so what comes to mind for me is, that there was some, they lived hard, and they ended up paying the price perhaps with a shortened life, but they did what they wanted to do, and when they wanted to do it, they had God-given talent, and they did not let that talent go to waste. It's hard to process it. It's hard. My wife is in the medical profession, and when she heard the news, and even though the family was saying stable condition, that means something very specific to folks that work in medicine, and she had her doubts going into the weekend that Carrie was gonna be around this week. So,
Yeah, Christine and I had the same reaction, and I think I shared with you guys the theory we had on what actually was going on and why it was prompting the limited and vague, for lack of a better term, updates we were getting from the family, but it. Just from what was described about what happened on the plane and what the response times were, if those reports were true, I did not have a lot of hope. I just thought it was going to be a question of when, not a question of if.
Mm.
Yeah. And I know, and it's horrible to bring this up, but I am quite sure that the story folks at Lucasfilm are getting ready to have some very, very serious discussions about what's going on with the post-production for episode 8 and the pre-production for episode 9, because depending on what her role was supposed to be in the outcome of the trilogy, there has to be a very, very serious rejuggling of the story now.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind transitioning real quick to some of the upcoming projects that she was on, if it's okay. I know we're kind of having a little memorial thing to it. But yeah, the stuff I've kind of read a little bit about is that she finished her work on episode 8, and we'll see where that goes. Obviously, they're already putting in a tribute to her in episode 8. That's been brought up in a few articles. I'll have to post those on our Facebook page. But yeah, it just, I don't know. It's just, I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, That's tough. I mean, what if she was going to play a bigger role or a bigger factor later on in the series? Obviously, she is the mother of Kylo Ren, so that's a huge, huge part of what was coming for us. And I don't know how that's going to be rewritten, but if Kylo Ren ends up taking out both of his parents just to, you know, fill in this tragic event, man, that's going to make this the darkest trilogy ever.
Yeah.
So I'm sure they will do it in the most respectful and wonderful of ways that they can, but man, that's tough losing someone like that. It really is.
Well, and the outpouring from her colleagues today was wonderful as well. I mean, as wonderful as it can be. But I thought that Mark Hamill, I think his post, I'm trying to remember it, I should have had it ready, but I think he just said something like, no words, or, you know, and then tagged her. You know, it's interesting living in the Facebook / Twitter era that you get these reactions from celebrities. But I think there's just an outpouring of love for her, and yes, and for what she represented, and for who she was. So many pictures. There was you posted quite a few, Scott, on our page.
Yes.
And I really appreciated you doing that. Just so that we remember who she was and who she represents to us. I mean, as a prepubescent boy and later a teenager, I mean, she was a you know, just a goddess to me. She was the princess. And it's hard to watch someone like that age along with you. You know, I'm looking in the mirror going, wow, I don't look like I look like 30 years ago. But it's been interesting to see her, the different stages of her life, you know, as she changed and as she matured, and I was just thrilled with her comeback in episode 7. I thought she did a great job to bring Princess Leia back the way she did, and along with Harrison and Mark in their respective roles, so I'm really, really thrilled that she got to relive that and bring that character back. And it'll be interesting to see what happens with episode 8. I agree. They need to. They must be scrambling and thinking it through now.
I'm sure they're going to handle it just fine. I'm going to jump on your bandwagon for a second, Steve. I have to say, I mean, it's maybe not even a confession. I mean, I'm sure most people know or have had the same feeling that are, you know, our age, younger or older, close to us anyway. But she was definitely one of my first screen crushes. It's like, that's the princess, and she is not just a beautiful woman. She is strong and kick ass. And anyone that talks to a Wookiee that way, my God, that was a tough woman, you know?
Yeah, the sass she brought to the role. I mean, the writing is one thing, but you got to deliver those lines and you got to get it right. And
she crushed it. She delivered it with a set. She had a pair on her, and I love that. And man, you know, you can just sit there and say, well, she was beautiful, you know, great, that's awesome. And she was, but she was everything else. She was smart and talented and funny. And it wasn't just as an actress. She went on to be such an honest and a brutally honest at times human. Like her interviews and her writing and everything she brought to every other aspect of the Hollywood scene is phenomenal. And I think should be commended, because most, and this isn't a total slam, maybe a little bit, but most actors and actresses don't do what she does. And she didn't rip apart the industry. She just showed everyone what it was really like. And most people kind of keep that little facade of, you know, Hollywood glam and glitz. And she did not. She wrote it all. She put it out there. And I thought that was one of the best things about Carrie Fisher. She was just an honest, honest woman. So I love that.
Yeah, and I was just to kind of dovetail on that real quick. One thing that I kind of remember is just from being a kid and growing up and playing, you know, Star Wars and all the other make-believe games. But if you played Star Wars, the girls in the neighborhood, a lot of them wanted to play Princess Leia. And that wasn't the case when you would play other pretend games. It was always like, you know, half of the girls don't want to participate in this, or there's not really something that they feel good about. But a lot of them wanted to play Princess Leia, and it's because you could do anything with the part. You know, you could grab a gun and shoot people and rough and tumble with the boys, or you could be the kind of regal, glamorous, commanding, yeah, you know, queen presence. It was, it was great, and there weren't a lot of opportunities or characters like that for girls to kind of imagine themselves and project themselves onto at the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
This is another clip from last year with Carrie, around the time of the release of The Force Awakens, talking about the advice she gave to the new cast.
Do you have any advice for the younger members of the cast, having experienced what you have with Star Wars fandom and the whole journey you've been through for the last 40 years?
I've told Daisy not to go through the crew like wildfire. We have to preserve... And that goes for the boys as well. So that she took that advice, and not that I went through the crew like wildfire, tiptoed, no.
Also have to say, I think we'd be remiss if we did not mention the gold bikini.
Well, it gets mentioned on almost every podcast we do, so yes, you're right, we would be remiss.
I mean, she made that thing what it is, which is... well,
oh yeah.
I mean, as a young teenage boy, that thing represented sexuality to me. I mean,
there's a whole episode of Friends devoted to what that means.
Man,
to our generation.
Yeah. Dave, you and I can have a major discussion about that, because that episode, as much as I love it, drives me absolutely crazy. And as a true Star Wars fan, you'll know exactly why.
I didn't want to get us off the rails. I just wanted to throw out there, because yes. You know me, I love to tie all the pop culture stuff together.
I do appreciate your throwback to that. there is a flaw with that episode and that particular scene, but we won't get into it right now. We'll discuss that at another time. I'm going to throw this out there. When I went to go see Rogue One at Grauman's Chinese, they have many, many display cases of the costumes. The first costume I walked in and turned, and right there to the left of me was the gold bikini. And I'm like, that is the absolute moment where I looked over at my wife. I'm like, you're taking a picture with me in the gold. And that was the first picture I took. And then right next to it was Boba Fett. So Boba Fett, you got number two this time. But man, I was like, they've got the gold bikini and everything. I was dying. I'm like, this is awesome.
Well, I'm glad that you guys could join in tonight. Thanks, guys. I'm going to close this out with Leia's theme tonight. I'm sorry that Nico and Greg couldn't be here. I know they wanted to be, and we're talking on and off today. They wanted to express their appreciation for the character as well. How do we close this out, guys? I mean, this is the passing of a Hollywood legend. It's the passing of a Star Wars legend. And... you know, what can you say other than she'll be missed?
Dave, please.
Yeah. I have heard said before that when a star goes out, its light continues to shine on for years. And Carrie Fisher died December 27th, 2016.
I have to say that she is a princess. I mean, she really is the one that represented it. It represents an entire generation of fans and just an amazing woman.